What's going on, man? How you doing?
Nothing much, man. DC Glenn, welcome to the show of the one and only tag team out there, WSJU Radio, St. John's University. We're happy to have you, Sports and Hip Hop, with DJ Mad Max. Classic hip hop group, hip hop duo, Atlanta, but originally from Denver, which was interesting. And I mean, how are you joining your evening?
Man, I'm good, man. Tired, but I'm good. It's been an interesting whirlwind, but it's all gravy, man. I can't complain. I can't complain at all.
The commercial's doing a lot of numbers, especially during the football season. And they're showing that Geico commercial, every 10 seconds.
I found out today. This is the number one commercial in the country. It's like having the number one record in the country. Isn't that crazy? After like almost 30 years, it's number one again. It's like, wow.
That's crazy. Number one song back in the 90s with Whoop, There It Is. And now you have a number one commercial with that same song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I mean, and it's ironic because I'm an actor and a voice artist as well. So I do commercials and I do voiceover for commercials. But it's like, the Whoop side didn't know that I acted, and the acting side didn't know I did Whoop, There It Is. So both worlds have collided spectacularly, and I couldn't have asked for more.
When did you start doing voiceovers for commercials?
Probably, I started training in 2008. I would fly probably twice a week to New York, and I trained with Joan Baker and Rudy Gaskins. They're big in the game, and they're incredible coaches, and they taught me the game. And it was difficult at first because I didn't understand the language, and I'm coming from the DJ world, coming from the rap world. So I just thought I could whoop, There It Is, my way through it. And I was sorely and bitterly disappointed, and I just stuck with it. And, you know, I started getting a couple gigs here and there, and then started working for Apple Radio before they started charging for the service. And we're doing a lot of those. And then fast forward to like 2015, I retired from DJing in the clubs and focused on voiceover, and started training in Atlanta. And my coach, Eileen Kimball, she got a call, and they were looking for African-American voice talent for the People Stores, biggest talent agency in the Southeast. And they sent my demo, and they were like, yo, we love your voice. And then I started going out on auditions and started auditioning like crazy. And probably about 6 months into it, I had a meeting up there at the People Store, at the offices. Mm-hmm. The owner came by, and she was like, I love your face. Put him on camera. And I was like, huh? Dude, that never happens. She said, put you on camera. That means commercials, movies, TV, everything. It's like, word. All right. Because you have that dream. You know, everybody has that dream. They could be a movie star. They could do this or do that. And, you know, I remember that they were like, you got to take headshots and you got to go to acting class. Then when I started going to acting class, you know, all the lessons I learned from voiceover start kicking in and making a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. And then when those two merged, I just went hard. I was in class 5 days a week, training with the best coaches. I'd fly to LA, fly to New York sometimes, but I was basically going through every coach in Atlanta and just trying to learn as fast as I could to get up to speed. And then I started booking. I booked my first commercial. It was an industrial for a barbecue company. Mm-hmm. Probably 4 months in the game of acting.
Wow.
Yeah. And,
that's, you know, crazy.
Booking a voice over here and there, and, you know, just chugging along. And, you know, when the pandemic hit, I had booked a National Pizza Hut commercial for March Madness. And I was just, you know, it was like I cracked through to the big time. And, you know, we all know what happened with that, right? Yeah. I mean, everything got shut down. So I had to make it a decision. I was like sitting there like, you know, like everybody else, what in the heck are you gonna do?
Yeah.
And I decided, you know, it's time to reinvent yourself. What can you do right now to make money?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you can sit up here and spit on this U87 and get your money. because he's right here. We inside now. So, and I said, okay, well, you better get good at it. And I went back to the beginning. I went back to 2008 because every class I take, I record. And because you just can't retain all that information. If you go to a class for an hour, you're only going to remember about 5-10 minutes of it. And everybody say they can, but I know I couldn't. So I record every damn thing. And I've got it cataloged and organized. And I went through and listened to the 10-year-old, you know, listen to me 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I could hear, you know, it was disappointing and heartbreaking. But at the same time, it was exhilarating and inspiring because, you know, I heard myself as a person who was not as humble as I should have been. I heard a person who thought he could just whoop, there it is, his way through shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking I'm DC the Brain Supreme. I could do anything. And I still believe that, but there's a point where you have to really listen to people when they're talking to you. And going through, and you know, just hearing how bad I was in voiceover, hearing how it's like your first rap or your first radio podcast, or you just go back and you listen to that and you really listen to it without turning it, or, you know, you fight through it. And, you know, it was disappointing, but like I said, it was inspiring because it all started making sense. And then, you know, the hole started filling. Mm-hmm. And my weaknesses turned into strengths. And when I got through 30-hour lectures of what I had learned, I knew every aspect of voiceover inside out, knew how to practice it, knew how to perform it. Mm-hmm. And I started booking instantly. And we're talking like March, April. In April, my acting coach calls me from LA. She's like, "You willing to travel?" It's like, "Yeah." So I got a movie for you. Because they're letting everybody film in Nebraska. Nebraska was like, "We're not closing. So you guys come up here and film." Went to Nebraska, filmed my first movie, right? Mm-hmm. Called My Corona. And that was cool. That was the week of George Floyd. So it was chaos all over the world, except where I was at, in the middle of a cornfield, looking up at the stars, you know, in peace. Right, doing what I love. And came back to Atlanta, it was Armageddon. I came back a couple days after everything kind of went crazy, but you know, it worked out. And then I got called from another producer for another movie. And I was in the middle of Georgia. Then got another voiceover gig, and then just been booking. 2020 was an incredible year for me, right? Yeah. And just training and training and training, and then I get a call from my agent saying Geico wants to book you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really? It's like, I didn't even audition for Geico. And it's like, well, they called us. And the reason that happened is because in 2012, when everybody thought Obama was in our video, remember that? Obama's in the video. I could have really capitalized on that, but I didn't, because we didn't have a website. You know, we might do one or two shows a year. We're doing halftime shows, stuff like that, because I was making money. We all was doing our thing. And nobody could find me. And I vowed right then and there that would never happen again. And, you know, I've always been building websites here, you know, doing fashion photography, all the things that you would do as a media company to, you know, be self-present, you know, to do things yourself, right? I retouch, learned how to retouch, learned how Photoshop, I've been doing this since day one, learned how to cut video, learned how to edit, learned how to write, the whole nine. And I started learning about SEO. And
well, that's important. That's really important. That really gets your name out there. That's
the most important thing. Yeah. And it was, you know, and people think, wow, he learned how to do all that. And I was like, no, that was hard. It still is hard.
Yeah, right? It is. Yeah.
People don't understand how difficult that is, but I love a challenge. So I fought through a bit, and I was in the club. So I said, what better way to learn things is to practice all those things through the club. So building a club website, taking pictures, making the club hot, trying to figure out what marketing tactics work here, there. And I was good at it because everybody was in the city was following me, right? So, And this goes back to the 90s, everybody's following. I did calendars, everything. Just anything to be innovative, right? And, you know, fast forward 2016, I was like, I'm gonna just build this damn tag team site myself. Cause you try to find people to build your site, they can build it, but they don't know SEO. So they're just building a picture site. Like, I need people to find me. And 2016, I built tag team site. Actually, I built the t-shirt. You know, I had a t-shirt company at first because I retired DJ in 2015. I built a 700-page site, which was a big mistake. I should have started with one. I should have started with one t-shirt and just sold the crap out of that t-shirt and then added another one. And then, you know what I mean? But I wanted to go big, and that was a big mistake, but I learned. And I just built the tag team site, and 2016, you type in tag team, and all you saw was wrestling. You type in tag
WWE,
team.
WWE, probably.
All you
right?
see is tag team. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? So I learned it well, and, you know, that has served me well, you know, because Geico called my phone because they got the phone number off the website. Cause I got a phone just for the website. Right. Yeah. And they couldn't find, I didn't call them, you know, it was like, they really was trying to find us. And they went to my IMDb, which is my actor's portal for actors, and found my agent and called my agent. So because I left those breadcrumbs, left my profiles, you know, so many people got so many social media profiles and they're not filled out correctly. People don't, like, you can't do that. And it was filled out correctly and they called them and I let my agent make the deal. And they did an incredible job and we all got together and, you know, the rest is kind of, you know, history. You know, once we solidified the deal, then my acting kicked in. It was like, okay, what are we gonna do? Because first it was like, you know, the emails they were sending us, they were thinking like, well, we're going to do like Soup, There It Is. And I was like, okay, this is going to be like some Seinfeld Soup Nazi stuff, something. What is this going to, you know, I'm trying to figure out, just putting my acting hat on, what is this going to be? And then they finally came up with it. You know, it's going to be about Ice Cream Scoop, There It Is. And that just hit me hard because, you know, my father passed away a year ago. And one of the indelible memories, but not like, it was like the perfect passing, right? Because, you know, he had been ill, but he didn't have cancer. He was just old. And he passed away in his own house, in his own bed, in his sleep on his 82nd birthday.
Wow.
I couldn't ask for nothing more. Like, if I would ask for anything more, I'd be greedy. And there was nothing left unsaid, nothing left undone. So that was a great, not a great experience, but that was a very positive experience for me because my parents had prepared me for death all my life, right? You know, and especially my mother. So, you know, Geico, you know, I'm thinking, man, Ice Cream. I remember me and my little brother, we used to be in the driveway and my dad would make our own ice cream.
Yeah.
You know, he put the eggs and the milk and the vanilla and you know, a little salt, some sugar in a bowl and put it in the cylinder and put it in a big wooden thing. And I'd be like, all right, now crank it. And I'd crank it for 5 minutes and my brother would crank it for 5 minutes. And 20 minutes later, we got big old spoons eating ice cream in the driveway that we made, right? Yeah. And, you know, that was my essence. That was the essence of what I want that commercial to be. I wanted that commercial to be every time people saw it or every time children saw it, they would look at their parents and say, Mom, I want a party like that, right? And lo and behold, that's what it's become. And, you know, I booked the Pizza Hut commercial because I take improv, right? And my improv, you know, I've been auditioning for commercials for a minute. It hadn't booked anything. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Mm-hmm. And it's like when I get in the room with these casting directors, I would kind of fold because they'd be like, okay, do this, do that. And you got to think fast on your feet. But I was just folding, man. It was like, I'd get outside and I'd be like, man, I could have done so much better. So what I started doing, as soon as I got the script, I would come up with 10 different scenarios and then just hash them out and then just put them in my pocket, right?
Yeah.
Just to have them. And every audition, you know, you're gonna have, they're gonna tell you what to do. And if you did your homework right, one of the things that they tell you to do will be in your pocket. So it's nothing now because you practiced it, yep. Right? And they say you're not supposed to do that, but I'm not saying do something and stick with it. I'm just saying be familiar with the thing that they're gonna ask you so you can be versatile with it and do different things with it as opposed to trying to think up something on the spot and then have to think up the other stuff because you only got a second. All right, can you do this for, okay, thank you, next. That's all you got, right? And I remember on the Pizza Hut, it was like we were doing this pizza dunk stuffed crust into the sauce and we did what they wanted. And then the girl I was with, I was like, hey, I got something for us. I was like, let's do the bump dance, right? Mm-hmm. Because after we do a little like end zone dance, she was like, bet. She's like, you know what I'm talking about? I was like, yep, start on the right. And it was just real quick. And we vibed so hard and we did that and you could just see it on their faces like, whoa, that's it. And we got called 2 days later, like you guys booked it. So I knew that that worked, right?
Yeah.
I had the same approach with the Geico commercial, mm-hmm. You know, with the spin and scoop, the sprinkles. The sprinkles is LeBron James at the scorer's table with the chalk, right? I was doing the Salt Bae, but I had a long sleeve shirt on, so it was sticking to the shirt. I mean, we had things where we were like tapping the ice cream scoop, just all kinds of stuff. There's a certain dance that I was doing because they do it in Atlanta. To bass music, so everybody, that was like my ode to Atlanta, Georgia. Everybody seen it, knows that I'm doing it. So you just add those little subtle touches to make them right. And the night before, I talked to, you know, we had a production meeting and I'm talking to the director. And I'm like, I got a couple ideas, man. You want to hear me? He's like, man, we do anything you want to do, DC. And I was like, word. And I was like, I wanted to do this spin and scoop, but I was trying to find a fabricator, but I couldn't find anybody. You know, just something I could spin the scoop on my hand. He was like, it'll be done tomorrow. I was like, what? And I just told him all the stuff I wanted to do. He's like, we're going to do all that. And I was like, wow. And then we shot that day, November 9th. Shot it the whole day. We did everything we needed to do, full of energy, full of fun. And it was COVID-free. They bought a whole block. It was major, man. And just went on about my business. And it took on December 28th, they really dropped it the day after Christmas. They dropped it midnight after Christmas on YouTube. They bought YouTube ads and we're on the front of YouTube. And from that time to now, I've done 5 interviews today. But see, I'm aggressive, right? So I'm reaching out to people. I'm like, this is all practice for me. This is me practicing my articulation for voiceover. This is me practicing my motivational speaking. So when I talk to young people about the music industry, they listen, right? This is about so much more than me just doing an interview, right? And, I'm not trying to do what I did 20 some years ago. If the hip hop magazines want to talk to me, that's cool. But I'm trying to get into the trades. You know, we just had a big article drop in Adweek. Adweek is the biggest magazine trade in advertising. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that need to see me because I'm an actor and they're going to put me in commercials. Because today I found out that the Geico commercial is the number one. I told you that already, number one in the country, plus other stuff that they were just telling me. As far as like the specs that they use to just gauge how a TV commercial is performing. And for me, I wanted to get that data as well. So I was trying to sign up for that service, but they were like, SideSpot TV, they were like, you don't gotta sign up for the service. We'll do the research for you because I wanna know how our Geico commercial stacks up against Rat, The Who, Little Richard, Boys the Men, DJ Khaled, Salt and Pepper, and Ice-T. And after 1 month, we've blown all of them out the water.
That's crazy. Because I remember the Boys the Men one.
Yeah. When they were in the pharmacy. We blown everybody out. Salt and Pepper, I'll never forget. Salt and Pepper wasn't doing them before 2014.
That's the one when they were in the elevator. I think there was a part when they were in the elevator.
Yeah. And they hadn't stopped touring since 2014. And because of the pandemic, we can't go tour. But if there wasn't no pandemic, I'd be talking from a hotel room.
Yeah.
Probably be performing right now, but or be in the dressing room talking to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, but that's okay because that's why you prepare. That's why you have, you know, this is chess. That's why you have six hustles. You know what I mean? Because one don't work, well, you know, the industry needs to know that I'm an actor and I'm a voice actor. And y'all gonna hire me because I have what's called a value proposition. Because I have the number one Geico commercial in the history of artists, that means something. So I could slap that on the table in any deal and no other artist would even thought to even do what I'm doing. I'm a hustler, I promise you. I think outside the box. I'm trying to, you know, because I've got experience. I know what everybody else is trying to do and they can do that, but that's not for me because I'm trying to do something totally different. I'm trying to get into a lane where I'm looking for new territory where there isn't anybody.
Yeah.
And I can call it my own, right? And everybody else is following each other and nobody's really, you know, success. You think you have success, but you kind of spinning your wheels, right?
Yeah.
And I don't knock nobody. You know, I always tell people, don't hate on young people for being young because that's what they do, right? But I have experience and I can take what they do and put it with my experience and create something totally different. So, you know, it's crazy that, you know, the Geico commercial, when it first came out, it was like, okay, now it's time to hustle. And I was trying to hire a publicist, but all the publicists were like, well, you really don't have like a premiere or something like that, like a new show where it's just, you know, we don't think it'd be, you know, feasible for you to even hire a publicist. And I was like, all right, that makes sense. I appreciate you. And I was like, forget that. And I went and I joined a national PR organization, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because in every organization, every organization is full of professionals in that arena that will talk, that know what they're doing, been doing it for 30 years and can teach you. That's why I always tell people, whatever you want to do, join an organization. If you want to be an actor, join an acting organization. If you want to be, like, perfect example, some years back, I was like, we need to start doing shows. I would ask people to do shows. Nobody was coming through for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, let me join an organization that gets shows. And I joined, it's called the International Entertainment Buyers Association, right? IEBA. Yeah. And I didn't know what it was. I just knew that, you know, talent agents are there. And I come to find out that on the food chain, the artist is at the bottom. Then is the manager, then it's the talent agent. But then you have the talent company who hires the talent agents. And then you have the buyers who are the people who put on the shows. And then you have the venues. And then you have the corporate buyers, right? So you got this hierarchy of people who purchase entertainment. And I'm like, I'm in the right place. I went to their conference, wore a big ass Whoop There It Is t-shirt and started networking. And because I did that, we started getting shows. It's just a different way of thinking, man. If I had kept trying to get all the talent agents to get us shows, it just wouldn't have worked. Because who are we, right? It's like, what have you done for me lately? So once I started telling by, and then I told people that, you know, we're a clean rap group too. So you can put us anywhere. You put one There It Is anywhere. Country bar, rodeo, ice capades, wherever. And it's going, we can go and do our thing and it's going to rock the house.
Yep.
Because we started doing casinos, state fairs, any type of, I learned so much about joining an organization. I learned that there's 10 Prince tribute bands. Tribute bands are touring all over the place because nobody wants to pay, you know, either the groups are broken up or whatever. So they're the tribute band. They sing all their song, cover band. They go and they go all over the world making money. They don't make as much money as the artists, but they make a good living, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's all we need to do. And we've been doing shows. Like I said, we probably would have got, man, we'd be, it'd be a show every day.
Yeah, worldwide.
worldwide. Like, we'd probably be in Australia somewhere just because of the Geico commercial, but it's okay, right? It's one of the things where you can't dwell on what has happened. You have to stay offense. You have to stay aggressive, right? You know, okay, we down 14 points, but what are you going to do about it, right? Are you just going to fold, or are you going to be like, just stay aggressive, you keep grinding, keep chopping wood? And that's why I do so many interviews, just to chop wood. I'm chopping wood. I mean, what else are we going to do? You know what I mean? And, you know, my goal for the rest of my days is to just spit game to people and tell people the things that I wish somebody had told me when I was a young man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? About the music industry, about acting, about anything, right? And because people want to hear it. And it's just a different way. It's a different way and a different perspective than anybody else that you probably would interview, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just, you know, I'm glad we hooked up, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm hoping I'm answering all your questions.
Yeah.
I get to just, it happens every time somebody asks me one question and I look up, it's a half hour later, because I do these all the time, and I could tell my story 120 different ways, right? But, mm-hmm. you know, I can kind of tell what you want and what you want your listeners to hear. And, you know, for me, it's more inspirational than just me talking about tag team. Everybody know about tag team.
Yeah.
But it's like, what did you do with that? Like, a lot of people think, you know, it's a beautiful thing for me right now, because everybody gets to put a face with the song. The song has always been bigger than us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing for me, because I, you know, I'm not a rah-rah dude, you know. But at the same time, it's good that all these kids that came up knowing the song, and everybody who never seen us get to see us now.
Yeah.
That's special. So, I mean, that's just, so, I mean, working with Geico, working with the Martin agency, that's the ad agency that's doing, I mean, we're grinding, and I can't even imagine the Super Bowl commercial. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just going to be crazy. So it definitely has been a good thing that this has happened. And all I'm trying to do is be prepared for whatever comes my way. Right. So preparation is the key. And if, you know, somebody says, hey, John Favreau says, hey, I got a spot for you, The Mandalorian, I'm ready. Put me in the game, coach. You know what I mean? That's how I'm looking at it. You know what I mean? That's how you have to put stuff out in the universe for it to come back to you at all.
Yeah.
It might not come back to you for 2-3 years, but you got to put it out there. Right.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to see it. Somebody's going to know about it. And they're going to be like, whoa, that's a good idea. I got something he could do. And then you just string those together, and now you're a consistently working actor in a field that is cutthroat, and you're auditioning with 3,000 other people, and you break through because you were prepared. So that's, you know.
And you're always very prepared.
Gotta be, man. Yep. If you're not prepared, man, just playing, right?
Pretty much.
And it ain't nothing but work. And I get up every day, and half the stuff I do, I don't want to do it, but I do it anyway. Right.
Yeah.
Do it anyway, because I know that it's going to come back to me some way, shape, form or other. And if it don't, I've learned something.
Yeah.
So just got to keep grinding, man.
Yep. What movie? And it's very interesting. And you're definitely one of the most unique guests that I've had, because you don't want to just talk about yourself. Like you said, you spit game. You give a lot of advice. And a lot of people listening right now, you're talking to the college base right now, St. John's, and they need influencers in their life, people that'll help guide them and give them important advice. And you're someone that's had a major hit song that's lived on generations. You've basically reinvented yourself with the Geico commercial, and you got more on the way here. And if COVID wasn't such a detriment right now, you guys would be on tour all over the world, and you'd be proving, hey, we're from the 90s and we still can live on. And something that I like about you guys is that with the party hits, the 90s party hits doesn't get that much exception, because everyone likes that grimy 90s hip hop. Mm-hmm. But those 90s party hits were fire too. And the 90s party hits are way better than the party hits that are made today, because they're fun and you can have a great time with them.
And you understand what people are saying, but yeah. I'm not gonna go there, because this is just how they be. Like we were influenced by lyricists. We were in, you know, we're from the beginning of hip hop.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I started DJing in 1982. That's the beginning, right? For me. There, and been a DJ all my life. I understand the concept of hip hop. Concept of hip hop is to rock the party. Period.
That's right.
There is nothing else, right? At the beginning, what was it? Two turntables and a microphone to do what? Rock the party. You know, even, you know, then, you know, Planet Rock, the whole B-boy, breaking, dancing, boom, to what? Rock the party.
Yep.
Even when it got, you know, ghetto and boogie down Bronx and all that, what? What? To rock the party. Everything is to rock the party. R&B, to rock the party. Concerts, everything. The whole 90s was to rock the party. Yep. Even the grime, but the grimy stuff, even grimy stuff, you might consider what? Jump around. Where were they at? In a bar. Rocking the party.
Yep.
Always the same. And until the end of time, people, they're going to be weddings. They're going to be bar mitzvahs. People are always going to want to celebrate and rock the party. So yep. There's always going to be a space to make music like that. And nobody just is looking at it like that. Everybody's looking at it like, I want to be a star. What I got to do to be a star? So then sometimes they might not put the effort into it that you would need to really make good music that really touches people and can last throughout time. Because, you know, every year there's two or three people that become super hot. You know what I mean? But that's two, three people out of thousands.
Yep.
Thousands, right? So what are you bringing to the table? Are you bringing what every other rapper brings to the table? The stories of all the stuff in your hood and all the stories of what you think is popping or what you think people want to hear? Or are you bringing something that of value to people that is gonna outlast you, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I can't sit here and say that I thought Woom There It Is was gonna live forever. I knew it was gonna be big, but you know, there came a certain time around like maybe 2008. I was like, okay, I'm straight. I'm always gonna be able to make money off this record. So
yeah.
Now it's about how do you ensure that, right? And ensuring that is if anybody thinks about it, they can find me. And that's where everything is a part of everything else. The SEO is a part of all of it, because if somebody needs a actor for this or a voice actor, whatever they need, if they're looking for it, they'll find me, because I know what the proper search terms are that represent me and what value I can provide to people, right? So it's so much deeper than just me wanting to be a star. So I tell young people, you know, learn how to be found, right? Search engine optimization, once you learn it, is not that difficult, right? Building websites to me is more difficult than search engine optimization. And for a lot of people, building websites is easy, but it's hard for me, man. I was like, man, why can't I? But then I know how to curate my own content. You know, it's you know, there's you got to take what you know how to do and gain some type of mastery over it, right? So that's why I'm like, I'm a baby actor. I've been acting 3 years. I'm a baby, but it's brand new. This for me, I feel 20 all over again because I'm doing something new.
Yep.
Most people just give up or are waiting for pre-pandemic conditions to where they can get back to their lives before it was a pandemic. And I'm like, you do that, you're going to be sitting around for a long time. Because yep. It ain't coming back. We ain't doing shows for another 2 years. I don't care what nobody say, right? I'm not even thinking about no shows. I'm thinking about just gaining mastery at the things I have control over, which is my hustle.
Yep.
My hustle, I have 100% control over. How hard I work, how hard I hustle, how hard I network, how hard I learn how to learn. You gotta learn how to learn, right? And you know, a lot of people say they hustle, and it might be true, but the pandemic proved that you could think you hustling and you not, because you revving that engine, run, right? But you look outside and you stuck in mud. Your wheels are spinning. You stuck in mud, right? You ain't going nowhere. And that kind of slaps you in the face. That's why you have to reinvent sometimes. That's why, you know, this is like the first time in history for us that it is truly survival of the fittest.
Yep.
Like, we in the motherfucking Serengeti out here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know, people might not realize it, but we are. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's survival of the fittest. How are you going to adapt? How are you going to move forward? How are you going to separate yourself from the pack? How are you going to stay safe? How are you going to, you know, all these questions come into, you know, this is a serious survival game. And a lot of people might not think that because everybody, you know, you think you're invincible at some point in your life. And this is a lot of people think they're invincible right now, but there's a lot of people out there that are not invincible. And life will show you how you're not. So you just have to be prepared and you have to adapt and you have to move forward. And, you know, I'm just a real positive guy. You know what I'm saying? I can't help it. I've learned the ability to take sadness, you know, anger, loathing, fear, all of that, right? Mm-hmm. And use it, right? Don't be mad, use it. Well, how am I gonna use it? Well, if I'm sad because I miss my daddy, use it in acting. If I got a script, oh, you need a little emotion? Cool, use it. Then you get it out, right?
Yep.
So for me, but I've learned how to use it in other things too. I've learned how to use it in my writing. I've learned how to use it in how I learn. I learned how to use it in the challenges that hit me, how my tenacity, my hustle, you use it. You can use every single negative emotion that comes your way and then you don't have to deal with it, right?
Yep.
Because you got it in your back pocket and it's in you and you just use it when you need it. And I learned how to do that, man, and not too much phases me, man, because I'm like, okay, people start talking negative or stupid. I'm like, okay. But I remember that and I use it in some way, shape, or form. So it's just about, I'm not gonna say mind control. It's just about, man, you gotta want it more. You gotta want it more. And the key that this is the key to me. You guys are in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the key to it is to learn how to learn, right? Mm-hmm. Perfect situation. So I hate reading, right? But I have to read sometimes because you have to read these scripts and you have to read for voiceover and you need to know how to read well, right? So I'll read when I need to read, but if I don't need to read, I don't want to read. And I might not read something. So I was like, how can I deal with that? Well, I got a piece of AI software where I dump in the script, dump in whatever it is I don't want to read. And now it reads to me and I'm retouching pictures and doing this and making my calendar and doing, you know, multitasking and doing four things at a time. So that's one of the situations where you learn how to learn, right?
Yeah.
Or you're in class. I record every class, everything I do. Every acting class. And because you're only going to remember a certain amount of it, but then I got AI software where I could take that lecture, dump it into AI software, it makes a transcription for me. Now, not only do I have the transcription in Word form in a PDF, but the AI software will read that PDF back to me and have markers all on it. Now I've retained it full stop because I'm hearing it, I'm reading it, and it's there if I need it. And I can pick and choose what parts are the most important, go back over it and just listen to it because I hear like, wait a minute, I need this part. And then once you go back over it a couple of times, you know it now because you know it's important because it stops you in your tracks. Learn how to learn, right?
That's right.
And that's how I write lyrics now. I don't write lyrics. I'll throw a beat on. I'm a better rapper than I've ever been in my life. And it's just, for me, it's just, that's what I love to do. But I'm not trying to put out a record, but I am trying to make a jingle for an ad agency. I am trying to, you know, be a theme song for a television show or make a song for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't require anybody validating what you do. And by the time they figure out that you've done it, it's already done and you've been paid 6 months ago. And I know what's coming up because I auditioned for all these things a year in advance. So why wouldn't I be in that lane? Because that lane pays up front and quick. Yep. You know, you ain't got to deal with no record company. You ain't got to deal with nobody trying to steal from you. Simple transaction. You put the stuff together and you making money. Licks, right? But, you know, I had to learn how to learn again. I used to use drum machines. I used to make beats like crazy, but technology passed me by.
Yep.
So now the technology has to meet creativity. So now I got tutors to help me one-on-one because all these teachers were like, I'm not being with them nasty ass kids in the classroom. They're all on tutor sites now. I use a site called Wyzant, W-Y-Z-A-N-T. Any tutor you need to help you with anything, they get on Zoom with you and teach you. I've learned how to use all the drum machines, all the DAWs, all the music stuff. I am up to speed now, right?
Yeah.
And like I said, writing lyrics, throw on a beat, boom. Just start freestyling, just start writing. Don't even think about it. And then all of a sudden, wait a minute. Ooh, that's a line. That's a dope line. Now you got an AI and it writes it down for you. You don't even got to worry about it because you got it written. Then you can go back and piece it all together or vibe on it again, right? You yep. can make a million songs that way. But if you sit there and trying to write it, trying to think of stuff, it's just too much. It's too much to block you, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that's the way, but I'm telling you, it's made my life easier. Mm-hmm. And that's one of them things where you just got to learn how to learn. So my biggest thing for everybody who's listening to this podcast, learn how to learn. The AI software I use is called Otter AI, OTTER.AI. And then you can use any reader. But I mean, the combination of those two helped me learn stuff 10 times faster than I would on my own.
Yep.
And it's not cheating. It's just a different way to learn. And you retain more. You got it. And you understand it. I used to think I'll never be able to act. I was like, I got baby Alzheimer's because I can't remember nothing. And because I started acting, I can do 5-6 pages. I can learn that in 20 minutes. Because you have to, it's not about memorizing lines. It's about understanding what the hell you're saying and understanding what's in the scene and understanding how it relates to your life and all these things that you would have never thought of being a non-actor. You're thinking, I just got to remember these lines. If you remember the lines, you're a slave to it because all you're doing is reciting words. That don't have no meaning, right? So when you can, like I said, any obstacle that comes my way, I just try to find a solution for it. I'm a solution-based person. Let's find a solution for it. And I'm talking about all these things because all these things have what made me successful in the thing I love to do most, music.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying all of this. And I hope everybody kind of understands what I'm saying because, you know, these are the things I wish somebody had told me when I was young. Yeah. I swear. You know, if you're trying to get in the music industry, before you do anything, learn about music publishing. Anybody that asks me for help, I'll be like, all right, I'll help you. But you got to do one. You get through this folder, I'm going to send you a folder. You get through that folder, then we can talk. 99% of people never call me again because they want to be a star. But the 1% who do, they will never be able to get taken advantage of. Because they understand the number one priority in the music industry is music publishing. You don't own your music publishing, you're not gonna make no money. Yeah. They're giving you a loan up front that they're gonna take back from you, and then they ain't gonna never pay you. That's how they get everybody. And if you know music publishing, can't nobody beat you out your money because that's, you can have a mediocre song, and if you have your publishing, you can make money off of your mediocre song for the rest of your life. Because you own the rights to it and you can work your record forever. You can submit it, you can get the money for it, right? Okay. And you know, we weren't that fortunate. You know what I mean? We were fortunate because we had parts of it, but you know, we've been through hell with this, right? People don't even understand what we've been through. There it is. But I'll take it because it's almost 30 years later, dude. We got a Geico commercial.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Come on, man.
That's interesting, and congratulations on that, being able to just, that song is just an anthem for parties, and it's all over the world, and it's continued for years and years. But you mentioned a song in the movie. Let's take it back to 1993. I think you know where I'm probably going with this one, as I'm a horror movie fan, and it's good around Halloween time. Where it is. Yep.
It was an opportunity and put the track together and, you know, got to just cool that we got to do it. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you don't realize what you're doing at the time. You know what I'm saying? Just having fun. And I'm glad we was able to do it. It would have been nice if it had been in a movie, but, you know, it's a trip because everybody listens. Everybody always tells me, yeah, I seen the Addams Family the other day. I always wait till the credits so I could hear y'all song. I'm like, really? It's like, wow. And you know, it, those things were fun back then, but we didn't know what was going on. We were just doing them, right? Like something like that today, there would have been a lot more strategy and how to really put it together and really think about what we were trying to do, right? Mm-hmm. But that's, you can't, you know, you could do that all day and then you'll be 70 years old and bitter and wondering why you ain't got nothing, right? So you just can't, you can never do that. You just got to keep moving forward, but I'm happy about it. You know what I mean? That was part of it. And, you know, Elf, you know, when it was in Elf.
Pharrell's dancing to it in the mailroom.
This is actually our second Geico commercial. They had one before, 2015, barbecue winner. Mm-hmm. It was in that one. So, I mean, it's like, we've had success all over the place because, you know, even when you can't get it from the record company, you still can get it from the Screen Actors Guild because you're a member of SAG. So you're going to, that's why you're a member of SAG. So you get treated fairly, right? Things like that, people don't know. And, you know, we've been able to make a good living off this record for a long time. So I really have no complaints.
Mm-hmm. And we're just looking forward to see what you do in the future with that record and even more.
And you know, people ask me like, you guys gonna put out new records? Like,
yeah.
that's a kiss of death right there. Why would I, right? It's like, there it is what I do, right? Yeah. So whatever opportunity comes my way, just be prepared. That's all. And they're gonna come again. It's gonna come around again, it always does. And you just gotta be prepared to take it and whatever you're doing, to bring that shine to whatever you're doing, that exposure to what you're doing so you can work and so you can take it and be a, you know, have a hit record in something different, have a hit movie, or be the voice of a brand for 100 commercials, right? The Geico dude's been doing Geico commercials since the beginning. His voice has been the voice of Geico. The voice of Mercedes-Benz has been the voice of BMW, Allstate. Those dudes have been doing the voiceovers for years.
Yep.
And those are chunks, right? Everybody's goal is to do national commercials. So now I'm with the number one marketing agency in the world and we just shot a Geico commercial. So I'm pretty much hoping to be casting a lot of stuff they got coming up.
Yeah, that's what's crazy about this being the number one commercial as far as artists go on Geico. You could be the lizard. You guys can be the lizard version of the Geico for artists where you guys become a staple for that brand.
The biggest commercial was the caveman. The caveman commercial.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's the biggest of all time. And then, but this is not going anywhere. This is going to rock for about three, four, five months, probably till the summer. Because, I mean, you know, right now it's hot because it's football. And it's like, it came out at the right time.
Yeah, it did.
You know, and then after Super Bowl, you got his all-star game. And then you might have... then it's just television, you know what I'm saying? Just regular television, then it'll die down. And just, you know, it'll be one of them commercials that just plays all the time because they got them, you know what I'm saying? Like Ice-T's commercial played a long time.
Yep.
What, Lemonade? Nah, you know, it's just like, I love that commercial, right? Yeah. And that one ran a long time. So you just never know. And then just the overwhelming response for it. I scour the internet every day and it's just always tons of just positive things being said about that commercial and little kids loving it and parents just happy about it and just telling the stories and it's just like, it don't stop. So, you know, we're in the process of putting together a Scoop There It Is challenge. We're gonna have like Scoop There It Is challenges. We're gonna have Scoop There It Is day. I'm gonna milk this thing to the end, boy.
Yeah.
Got to, you know what I mean?
You got to.
But that, you know, I could tell you most artists wouldn't even be able to even talk to an ad agency like I've been working with them, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm tenacious. I'm like, look, I've got value and I can bring it to y'all and we can make this thing last a long time. And whatever you want to do, we can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's do all the press we can do. You know, I want Variety, I want Hollywood Reporter, I want them all. Right? Yeah. I want all the trades because I want the industry to know of my value. And that's important to me. And they've been, you know, we've all been good partners. That, you know, everybody is elevating because of this. My talent agency, the People Store in Atlanta, you know, Martin Agency don't need no elevation, but, you know, they're happy. right? Because last year they were the ad agency of the year, and then they start off the year with this. And now I'm just, you know, every day is a couple more articles being written just at random about this commercial. And I reach out to them. I say, you want to do a follow-up? Holler at me. Everybody wants to follow up.
That's so it's good.
Like I've gotten two commercials out of one, right? That's hustle. Ain't no artist doing that. Artist is like, my manager should set this up. I'm done. Right? And then that's why he plays for a month. You got to be proactive and you got to get in there and you got to get in the trenches. And when you're in the trenches and people see you in the trenches and how hard you work, you develop relationships with all those people that you interview. And then you become friends. And then you can call on them when you need to do something big and let them be the first in on it. You know what I'm saying? If I ever get a big movie or something like that, I know who I'm calling.
Yeah.
Because they showed me love at the beginning, right? So it's just about relationships, man. You don't burn bridges. Even if they're worth burning, leave them up.
Yep.
You never know. You never know. So, hey, man, that's all I can say.
Yeah. I also remember when you performed halftime at the 49er game.
Wow. Yeah, man. Us, Biz. Get well, Biz Markie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And Freedom Williams. You know, but that's, we do stadiums. Do you know how good it feels to be like, bitch, we do stadiums.
Yeah.
You know how good it feels to say that? Because it's true. You know what I'm saying? It's not, you know, there's an asterisk next to that. It ain't like, okay, you fill the stadium full of people to come see you. But man, when we do stadiums and arenas, they know we're there. And that energy level goes up. So I know the value of it, right? And we've done pretty much every NBA team. You know, I was about to really start going after the seventh inning stretches and the hockey games, you know, before the third period, just trying to be innovative in the approach of performing for events like that, because it's there for the picking. And every artist can't do that, right? Every rap artist can't do that because they don't touch rap. It's just got a connotation that just people don't want to touch it. But if you set it up right, and they know you got a clean record, and whoop, there it is. It's not even a clean record.
Yeah. Thank you. You hear the edits when you listen to the song. You hear it in there.
They just think little kids are singing that. You think it's a clean record, and it's not, right? But I'm not going to argue with you. Mm-hmm. So, hey, man, I got to go, man, because I've been grinding all day.
Yep.
I'm very sleepy.
Yeah, I know you are. I wanted to get in one more question, actually.
Yeah.
The Hammer House Party.
Mm-hmm, that tour.
How was that?
That was good. I mean, you know, kind of the I Love 90s tour cannibalized it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I got the Hammer House Party, there were dates, but then it was a lot of cancellations too. So, I mean, it was cool. It was, when we got to perform, it was good, but we got canceled a couple times. And overall, it was a good tour. I liked that tour because people was very happy that we was around, and then, you know, you just seen all the Hammer pants out there. So definitely had a following. I think it was, you know, it was, for the most part, it was us, Biz, Two Live Crew, Mr. Mix.
Yep.
Mix a lot. Kid Play sometimes. Who else? Mix a lot. And then a couple.
Was Vanilla Ice out there?
No, Vanilla Ice didn't do that one. Vanilla Ice, his main one was the I Love the 90s tour.
Okay, yeah.
And then Salt and Pepper came. They got the second round of I Love the 90s tour.
Yep.
And then they haven't really done it yet. It kind of dried up. So it's just, I mean, you know, 90s do have a shelf life before the 2000s kick in. You know what I mean? So it's just, you know, everybody getting older and you just milk it for what it's worth as long as you can. But it's something about the 90s though, man. Because there's something about the 90s, man, because it's just different, right? I think it's the beginning of a lot of things, right? The 70s and the 80s was, you know, I guess that was just, it was, music was trying to find its way, but it really solidified in the 90s.
Yep.
And then the 2000s, it kind of started straying, right? Yep. And then, you know, after 2010, it was just like, you know, it is what it is, right? And so that's why I think 90s work so well, because everybody remembers we used to party. That's when times was good. Those were the Clinton years. That was the beginning of the internet. It was money being made everywhere. Come on, man.
Yeah.
It was like there was no worries, right? The biggest worries we had was, all right, you know, it was, you know, after the Rodney King riots, that was it. After that, it was Bill Clinton making money and having a good time. So 90s were beautiful, man.
Yeah. And thank God we're out of the Trump years.
Yeah, man. But you know, everything happens for a reason.
Yep.
And it took us going through this shit to realize that we don't ever want to go through it again. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like,
some people have said that to me. They're like, that Trump was needed in order to recognize that there's still that part of America out there, and that it taught people a lesson. You know, we can never go through that again. Just like you said.
Think about how many people it taught, you know, civics to. How many people got a civics lesson out of that? You know, I grew up with Schoolhouse Rock, and you know, I love politics, so I know all, right? But think how many people learned that, you know what? Your vote really does count.
It does, yep.
Like, people don't even, like, spend. I'm in Georgia, so I know my vote counted.
Yeah.
And then everybody who got to vote by absentee ballot, I've been voting for absentee ballot for years.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who figured out how to vote, because voting is really easy if you apply yourself, right? All you got to do is follow the rules, but people get to, you know, I can't even explain it, but you let the floodgates open when you said, you can send me a ballot in the mail, and all I got to do is go on the computer and see the people that I would have never seen and fill it out and then mail it back to you or drop it in a mailbox. That can't, you know, they're going to try to shut that door, but that door can't be shut. And everybody loved that. You know what I'm saying? Just to be able to just get your ballot and just take it and drop it off. You know, you're going to have the people who, you know, everybody got some type of conspiracy with them. But, you know, how do you know your vote counts? How do you know your vote counts if you go push it on a button? How do you ever know anything,
yeah,
right? It's like you gotta trust the system. I know if I drop it in a Dropbox, ain't nobody breaking in a Dropbox when you got machine guns, bazookas, and cameras all over it, right?
I'm looking
at it like, well, they got all these cameras over here. Ain't nobody messing with those boxes, you know? And if it happens, it happens. But it's just like giving. Once I, you know, if I give a bum $5 to go get something to eat and he go to the liquor store and get something to drink, I can't get mad because I gave it to him. Once I give you my $5, it's out of my hands, right? Same thing with voting, man. Once you vote, it's out of your hands. And you know your vote counts, but you never know. And you can't be worried about that. That's shit that just don't even make no sense to worry about. And, you know, like I said, this is how you just don't want it to be. And then you just, everything, you gotta live a reality, man. Like, it's just unreal. How do you believe something that's not real? Like, how do you, last time I saw that was Jim Jones in Guyana, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
how does that
even happen? I can see if you're on an island somewhere, you know what I'm saying? But we here. You know what I'm saying? It's like
it's like a cult.
Yeah, it's a cult.
It is like the Trump supporters are in a trance, almost. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen
it's almost like
Halloween three
where they put on the masks.
Yeah.
it's like Jedi, they've been Jedi mind trick, like, for real.
Yeah.
Like, I would never understand that, but it's not for me to understand.
Yep.
All I can worry about is what I control. I control that I vote, and that's it. You know, I control that, you know, if I can control it, and it's about me, I'm going to control it, and I'm going to be better for it. So if, you know, I think that right there is what wore everybody out.
Yeah.
COVID wore people out, but that wore everybody out more than anything, because not only can you go anywhere, but you got some shit out there that could kill you. And then the person who's supposed to be taking it serious ain't taking it serious. And then they're lying to you. And then it's just like, man. And then every day it just feels so good to just do stuff and not think about that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm way more, it just feels like I'm way more productive, but I'm always going to be productive because I fight through it and make it happen. So But hey, I appreciate you for having me, and to all your listeners, learn how to learn.
Yes.
And if you want to find me and ask me questions on social, just type in DC Glenn everywhere, because the breadcrumbs are there.
Yep.
Get in contact with me. And if you need help, I'll help you. I'll help anybody. You know, so if you got questions, I'm always willing to answer them. I answer people back. I'm not tripping like that. Hit me up. I got you.
Yep. DC the Brain Supreme, thank you for coming on the show. Everyone, go stream. Oh, whoop, there it is. You already know that. And another great one I want to bring up to you, OWEO.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We had, you know, it's funny. We had real good songs, but it was like we wanted to be hip hop and well-rounded, but you couldn't do that back then. We didn't realize that we should have just made all bass music, right?
Yeah.
And then the fact that, you know, Whoop, There It Is was so big, we were doomed from the start, man. We were never gonna be able to make another record. We weren't, man. We were never gonna be able to make it. There's only certain groups that can, like, you know, Queen is one of them groups that just can make a hit that big over and over, right? There's certain groups that can do it, but we wasn't one of them. You know what I mean? Because Whoop, There It Is was way too big.
Look
at all the biggest songs in history, you know, other than Michael Jackson and Madonna and people like that, you know, they, you know, that's rarefied air, man. You know what I mean? Mariah Carey, they make hits, but yep. There It Is. Can you imagine me making 10 Whoop, There It Is? Dude, come on, man.
Oh, man.
I wouldn't be able to go nowhere. But yep. Hey, I'm out of here, man.
All right, DC the Brain Supreme, I appreciate you coming on the show. You're always welcome. Anytime you have any upcoming work that you need, I know I have your contact information. Yeah. Stay in touch.
Stay in touch, man. Take care.
Take care. Peace. Stay safe and have a great night.
Whoop, there it is.
Yep.